B-Pod Studios.
Steven Gostkowski on for the point after try from the left hash. The snap in place, swing of the right leg. The kick is lifted to the uprights, and the kick is no good. He missed it wide right.
I don't know what to tell you.
Steven Gostkowski on point after touchdowns. 10 for 14.
Gostkowski, do you think it's time to bring in someone at least to push in a little bit?
Well, I think we're all going to look back at this game and say, you know, are some things we can improve on. Certainly, I know I feel that way. So we have a hard-working team. I have a lot of confidence in our team. We'll just, you know, keep working hard to do things better, you know, do them better next week.
You know, I'm feeling pretty good about this Patriots win yesterday. We should all be feeling good about the team being 4-0. I know some of you out there crying about no Antonio Brown today, but Pats are in a good spot. But they do have this ongoing issue with their kicker. Woo. Wide right from the left hash on the extra point, and it could have come into play yesterday. I know that it did for some of you betting on the game.
A lot of angry bettors.
Depending on at what point you got the game and what point you bet. And if you had it at 6.5, you felt the sting of that missed extra point yesterday. Steven Gostkowski continues to miss kicks. I know that he was missing them in warmups. He missed and was hitting one of the uprights on a 41-yard attempt in warmups. I read that yesterday. I think it may have been Mike Giardi that had observed that. And now Steven Gostkowski misses another extra point. Again, wide to the right from the left hash. They're just going to keep putting him out there. He's not going anywhere. The good news is it has not impacted a game yet. He has not cost them a game. He has cost them some points, but not a game. What do you do? How does this get handled?
Well, you just keep working at it with him. There's nothing you can do. I mean, this is the guy you re-upped. He's been around here. I mean, I'd trust him late in the year on a big kick. I would. And, I mean, I know we kind of talked about this a little bit in between breaks. Like, kind of starts off the year where it's kind of spotty, right? And then he ends up figuring it out. Then he gets hot. So that's kind of like what you hope for an approach. I mean, your team's 4-0 right now. So this is one of the least problems that you have, right? Because you think this thing will work itself out.
Yeah.
I think it'll become more automatic with Bailey and that. And it could be the holder.
First time I've ever thought something's actually really wrong with him.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people sometimes are saying now, too, that, you know, maybe it could be physically. And is there anything? And, boy, I don't think that was an intentional on that kickoff where it was drilled down the middle because – you know, they were a good returner. Like, last thing you want that returner is to scoop the ball up on a 5 like he did. And
so he missed it.
Get it out to
the
37. So it could be an issue with the leg or hip. Who knows? So.
If it is, and he's playing through an issue with his leg, his hip, his knee, his ankle, whatever.
Yeah.
Is that maybe why Bill Belichick won't even come close to entertaining or even answering those questions? Because he won't even...
And even if Bill was thinking it, I don't think he would even answer it that way because he wouldn't publicly put the player out there that way.
No, but I think that he's...
But I think he knows the mentality of this type of position, and he's been around it for 40-plus years. Like, pitchers in baseball are like closers, like, yeah, guys you really don't mess with.
I just want to explain what I'm saying there with Bill, in that he's, like, putting a smile on it and not drawing any extra attention to his answer by saying, well, you know, we got a lot to work on. We're going to keep working. And the answer was like a non-answer, but he wasn't at all sort of drawing any extra attention by being crusty at all and just sort of, we'll just keep working on the things we got to work on.
Yeah, I think there's concern because there was, you know, Joe Judge talked with Gostkowski after he missed that on the sideline for a while. So, like, normally when you miss it, you just kind of let him go.
But if Joe Judge is talking to him, though, that would seem to me to indicate that that's not an injury thing. Because what do you got to talk about? If you know the guy's hurt and he's kicking through something, what the hell is Joe Judge going to talk to him about?
It could be the holder. I don't know. It could be the holder. All right. I don't know. So,
if it is the holder, how do they fix that?
Well, you keep working on it. It's repetitive, right? You become second nature to you the more you do it. Because the punter isn't going anywhere.
Let me pose a question to you. Let me pose this to you as a former holder.
Yeah.
Right? How long did it take you to pick it up? Had you ever held before?
I never held.
Okay, you had never held before you did it.
Right.
Let's say.
I'm highly skilled with my hands.
Elite
hands.
I am. Well, I can catch anything. I could get it down.
Like, okay.
How am I going to do this? Well, walk me through it. So Matt Barr and Diossi coached me up, actually.
All right. Let's say that Jake Bailey just sucks as a holder. Let's for the sake of the conversation,
yeah.
And I don't know this to be true.
Okay.
I don't know that he's at all a problem.
Yeah.
He might not be at all part of this problem, but let's work it out.
Yeah.
Jake Bailey stinks as a holder. He can't hold. Goskowski feels that way and knows it and says this kid can't hold.
Stidham.
Okay. Is it Stidham? Is there potentially another guy on the roster?
Chung? I don't know.
Anybody?
Yeah.
Is there another guy on this team who might at some point get a shot to be the holder then?
Maybe. If you as someone
that has gone through that process of learning how to hold, do you think they could do it?
Yeah.
And get them up and running.
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
Especially if they held it another time in life. Yes. Yeah. And I mean, normally most quarterbacks have held, right? Because you're active and you're one of the more athletic guys. Hand-eye coordination, catch it. You're used to handling the football. You know, just quick. You spin it in your hand. Like when you get the snap and you're dropping back off a play fake or something, you're spinning the ball as you're reading because you're feeling for the right. And I'll flip the ball if I don't like the strings. If I don't like the strings here, and I'll flip it to where I get the strings on the other side. I like that grip before I throw it. It becomes so quick and natural to where you could grab it. Okay, I know the strings are here. Boom, turn it this way, turn it this way. And it should be boom, just right down, right down, right down. And it's rep, rep, rep. And I think they spend so much time together, to these three. You know, we talked about this in camp where it was odd with Allen because there's those three, and then, okay, here's Bailey kind of following those three around who are so used to doing things over the years that I think they're just going to trust Cardona, Bailey, and Gostkowski to spend more time on it and just keep repping and repping and make it become natural. Because I think it's natural for Cardona and Gostkowski. It might not be natural for Bailey. And I don't know this. I haven't talked to anybody about it. But I'm just observing it because all of a sudden a kicker just doesn't go to pot. You know, it could be just a little tilt of that ball, man. You know, and if it's too far forward and if Steve thinks, okay, I'm hitting it down this way and I'm going to play it out over because my kicks usually hook back in. And that's probably what he did in that left hash. Something forced it outside that right upright. It's just not a grotesque miss. I mean, it could be something as that ball, that axis just being off, but a tad. And it just changes the flight of the football. It's like just if you miss, same thing with golf. You know, the way you hit it right on the face of that club, man. Outside, you're going to shank it. You're going to skull it. You know, Hardy, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the margin for error, though.
That type of, I know, and I keep hearing it's that type of kicker and his experience, he should be able to kick the ball through sideways even with the strings, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a little more of an art to it than that. It's fine-tuned.
But the holder doesn't have to be Jake Bailey.
No.
Jake Bailey's not going anywhere. He's an excellent punter.
Right.
They can't let him
that
go.
That guy ain't going anywhere.
I know Ryan Allen is still available. He did not get another job.
What's Jim's sound effect?
They're not going back to Ryan Allen.
Jim, what's your sound effect?
Did we get it? Did we get it yet?
Thunk.
The Jake Bailey sound effect? The
Maybe
vortex?
They bring Ryan Allen back just to hold. That's his only job.
I don't think they're going to use a roster spot for that.
What?
What
stroke
is that?
Stroke me. Stroke. Stroke. Stroke.
You know what that is.
Getting the Billy score.
It's a punt coming off the foot.
It's not a punt, Jim. That's a guy.
No,
we
don't need the sound of a punt.
Kicking a wall.
That's not what we're looking for.
No.
It's not a punt.
No.
We're not looking for the sound of a punt.
That's like a basketball.
That's all we asked for.
We want something creative that would indicate a majestic.
We're not looking for something literal.
Flight. Of a football.
Do you know who Jim is? He's the Billy Joel of sound effects. He's the Billy Joel of sound effects, and that's where we're going to leave that. Let's get to the action update. We'll get back to your calls next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zo and Bertrand.
Bohorquez inside his 20. He takes a low snap. He's under pressure. Punt is blocked. Punt is blocked by J.C. Jackson. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
How about that, Bobby? Special teams, baby. You could tell something. They were sniffing something. The delay.
Making Matthew Slater.
Wow. Off the right edge, man. What a block off the right edge.
Matthew Slater with the recovery and the run back for the score.
Aha. It was great to see Matthew Slater get a touchdown.
Sure was.
His comments after the game were pretty great, too. I'm 34 years old. I could still dream. Been dreaming of getting a touchdown in the NFL since I was a kid.
Patriots.com released the locker room video yet? How's it taste? The sweet nectar of victory. My first touchdown. Yes. Can't wait for that one to come out. You know they got to be talking about Slater in that one. But credit Phil Perry here. Phil Perry went back to look at a couple things as far as the scouting of it. And, you know, the way the Jets did some things and what did the Patriots see. Because Bill talked about this too, the scouting with the Jets. We saw Buffalo and it helped us playing these two teams back-to-back weeks because we got to see how they game plan against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And how those vices and how they squeeze from the outside where, okay, we're going to have a chance here at a block where the Jets got some pressure. And I think it was another team, maybe Pittsburgh? Or no, Cincinnati, I think. Earlier that had some other pressure. Perry did a good job with the breakdown, going back and looking at some of that stuff. And he actually has the still shots of it on his Twitter feed. So that's like the inside stuff there. And you could tell that Buffalo was holding the snap count because New England was moving something around on the left side. They overloaded one side, and they had two guys popped up on the left. And just that little delay right there sort of, I don't know, made them panic. Or made them squeeze things down inside, which gave Jackson great angle. And he had a perfect angle to the punter. Perfect launch point. Got it right off the foot. That's how you block kicks. So he did a really nice job with it.
617-779-0985. Let's go to your phones. Barbara's in Beverly. Go ahead, Barbara.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, Babs.
Hi. Great win, huh, yesterday?
Sure was.
It was. I felt bad for Brady, but, you know, he's got to work it out, I guess. But at any rate, I wanted to ask you guys, Matthew Slater had, like, unsportsmanlike conduct on a play,
yes.
And I never saw it. And I can't imagine Matthew Slater doing anything like that. Do you know what happened?
They didn't show the replay. Now, what happened
was... It's the same thing you got called for a couple weeks ago.
Which tells me they're looking for it. It's a point of emphasis, and they talk about it as a league or as a ref... Reffing crew, you know, when he gets pushed out, he's the gunner on the punt team. So when he gets pushed out on that white,
mm-hmm.
he has to immediately reinsert himself back inside. He can't run down the white. You can't stay out of bounds and run
down
the white.
So it's a judgment call. What they tell the refs is the player has to make an immediate effort to get right back in bounds if they're pushed out of bounds or they run out of bounds. So if he, in their judgment, doesn't make the immediate effort to get right back in bounds on the right side of the white, they can hit him with an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty.
Which
is a weird name. They don't have a better name for it.
Right.
It's a procedural, it's a on the field of play issue. Unsportsmanlike makes it sound worse than what it is.
Yeah. Thank you so much
for clearing that up. You guys teach me so much. I really appreciate
it. That's what we're here for. Every day.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Barbara. Have a great day.
See you.
All right, Barbara.
Bye
thank
bye.
You.
Slater thought he got pushed out a second and third time. That's what he was complaining about. He was going nuts on the sideline. I never saw him act that way. You know, he's had that called, like you've said, on him before.
Because it seems like a point of emphasis because he got called for it a couple of weeks ago.
But if he's making the effort to get back inside, you got someone and you got two vice guys just really knocking him out of bounds. There's only so much.
I think it was the Miami game he got called for, too.
Yeah.
Which must be aggravating for him.
Boy, and the flags last night, too. Like, just, it's constant. Repetitive. Man.
Belichick this morning on the conference call said, not really sure what the, it's a very close call, in my opinion. So, he didn't go too far into detail when asked about it. He said, but it's a very close call. And it is. You know, how do you judge, you know, to
is the guy making that immediate effort to get right back in bounds.
See, Slater's not, he's so savvy and smart that he knows the longer I stay out there, the better chance I'm going to hurt the team and give him a 15-yarder.
But Belichick did indicate on the conference call that the league, it seems to him the league is making an emphasis on those calls.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's sort of a warning shot to everybody.
Yep.
That they're looking for that now. So it's something they want to tighten up. Mm. Which, by the way, I don't disagree with, because it is something that you never see get called, and it feels like every team sort of takes advantage of that.
Yeah.
And has over the years.
Well, it's the easy way out.
It is.
Like, run down on the white. And that's why they're always like, back up. You guys got to back up. Stay off the white. Because that is for the referees to run. The white's for the referees to run back and forth.
Well, not only that, it's just, it widens the field.
Yeah, that's illegal.
It's not what you should be doing.
Right. Then
they should be looking for that.
If you're allowed that, then receivers in the back of the end zone should be allowed to run around the goalpost.
Right.
You know, and, hey, I'm back in. Oh, you mean I got back in. Yeah. Ooh, and my feet.
I don't hate that they want to tighten that up a little bit and try and keep the guys in bounds.
So Belichick asked anything.
That's a good thing to tighten up. Of all the things, you know, you want to tell me you want to throw more holding flags. What are you doing? Knock it off. You want to say you want to make an effort to keep everybody in bounds during the play. Well, I can see that.
Well, this could be defensive coaches bitching, too, about you guys have stacked the rule so much to hurt defenders, like hands to the face. If you barely touch a guy's helmet, like they're calling hands to the face, 5 yards automatic first down. You know, you saw a holding call yesterday, which I don't think there was holding. Gilmore got him on one, but he didn't have him on the other. So the illegal contact stuff, you know, if you're looking at that saying, okay, now we need to even things up, what can we do on the offensive side?
Well, especially since there's no great return game anymore.
Right.
Like, give our guys a chance to block up some of these guys coming flying down the field, to give our returners a little bit of a chance to get a little bit of a return game going. Now, I get it.
I think they've
disagree with that?
No, no.
The return game has been killed in this sport.
No, and I think you look at the trends in the league, too, and the way stuff's called. Like, the beginning of the year, again, they're going to call that offensive pick. So I think Lacoste did a good job yesterday, where 3 weeks ago, he's literally setting a basketball pick and knocking a guy down, where he's going to intentionally get in front of a guy, then he olays the guy. The guy ends up falling down. There was no contact at all. I don't know what you thought of that call.
No contact.
They got that call right.
I'm glad they did.
I don't blame them for reviewing it, though. You got to take a shot. That's the only big Patriots play of the day downfield.
I think reviewing that was horrible.
You did?
I thought it was a horrible review.
That's an emotional.
Well, here's the difference.
Fans are going nuts on a replay.
Yeah.
You know what he does?
Well,
I hear the fans.
See, here's the difference, though. So, here's the difference. I'm not in the stadium. You are.
Yeah.
The fans are. The coach was, Jim is my witness. When I saw it, I'm screaming at the TV going, what are they challenging?
Yeah.
He didn't touch him.
Yep, but.
And so they need someone, because that's whoever their Ernie Adams is. Like, whoever their guy is in the booth is supposed to be able to watch on television and be detached the way Ernie Adams is detached, no matter where the team is, home, road, Super Bowl, whatever it might be. He's detached. He has, you know, no emotional engagement.
Right.
He can look at it and say, Bill, you know, challenge. Nope. Keep the flag in your sock. Whatever.
See, I saw it. I saw it during the call.
So I saw it and I'm like, what? No, don't check. They're going to challenge that? Oh, you idiots.
No.
I was like, good. Challenge it. He didn't touch him.
But at that point, it's a tight game. New England really did nothing on offense.
Okay,
at that
point. If you saw it, if you are someone who's making the decision for the Bills to challenge or not challenge, you are looking at a monitor. You should be looking, saying, no, we can't challenge
Here's
that.
A call. Bob and I knew it yesterday right
you
away.
You should not Go be ahead. Challenging that if you're looking at it on a screen.
Brady points to the helmet. Left foot forward. Extends the hands. Takes the snap. Pressure from his right. Steps up. Throws across. Little caught by Gordon. He's free to the 25-20. 15-10. A stutter step. And he steps out of bounds. First and goal to go.
And what a job by the tight end. Coming across to pick off Gordon's guy. And I think it's Izzo. I think it's Izzo on this, on the pick. We've seen it called in worse situations than that.
So, you saw it. The people in the booth next door, including the Bills general manager, Brandon Bean, saw it. And Sean McDermott thinks he saw it. He just threw his challenge flag. Craig Rolston.
The ruling on the field stands as called.
Good.
Yeah.
And that was the reaction.
That's
to
edited
the crowd.
Down. That's not in real time, obviously.
Right.
That's not in real time.
It'd be great if it was.
Yeah, but no. Can you imagine if they could do it that fast?
Oh, what tells you, though, with the reaction that McDermott had to Brian Belichick being on the sidelines, that's just like an F it, I'm throwing the flag.
Over-emotional lunatic.
Yeah.
game day.
He's got to tone down the emotion.
Yeah,
yeah. He's a hothead. Let him settle for a second and then do it.
That guy's got he's got a short wick. He, you know, he reminds me of Jim Schwartz. Remember Jim Schwartz when he was head coach at Detroit? A little bit of a wick, hothead, going after Harbaugh, grabbing refs, and all that stuff. Yeah, giving a choke signal. He's like Pete Carroll back in the day. A little hothead, gets caught up in the game emotionally.
Is he a little guy?
Who?
Schwartz? Charlie Turner.
Yeah, he is.
He's short.
Tell you what, he and the program director can go out.
You keep saying that.
Won't be able to tell which one's which.
You keep saying that today.
About to have him wrestle. It'd be a good fight. Those two out in the parking lot. Let them go at each other.
617-779-0985. The Sounds of Sunday are coming up at 12:50.
Sunday.
We got that sound. That tape came in from UMass, by the way. We get the highlights of that one.
Hopefully.
Deshaun Watson got the boot. UMass radio's in.
Watson out, UMass in. And if you heard the action update earlier this hour, the line on the UMass game, the early line is 26 for this coming
weekend.
Take
the points. They got a new quarterback now.
Curtis, he can play.
If you want to take that Deshaun Watson audio out, we'll put the UMass stuff in. I still want to talk about Watson. I want to play the audio in the 1 o'clock hour.
Okay.
Because I want to advance our discussion off the poor quarterback play from last week and why I think Mahomes and Watson are the best of the young crew. I will tell you that after 1.
Okay, very good. We'll also jump back to Mookie Betts in the 1 o'clock hour, too. More on that Red Sox season coming to an end. That's all coming up in a bit. We'll jump back to your calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Brady from the gun with Burkhead off his right hip. Takes the snap on 3rd and 8. Under pressure, Tom Brady rolling right. Tom Brady going backwards. Tom Brady throwing it out of play. Tossed it to his teammates on the sideline.
This is one hell of a defensive game plan. You're getting your lunch eaten right now.
Jim is in Connecticut. He wanted to talk about Steven Goskowski missing some kicks. Jim.
Yeah, I think the fact he misses the kicks is just an adjustment that he has to make. I think he's fine.
You ever been a kicker, Jim?
Yeah, the kicker.
Yeah. Have you ever been a kicker?
No.
Huh. I thought maybe you were like one of those square toe guys, straight on. Like Dempsey back in the day.
Well, I'm straight on, but I'm not a kicker. Yeah.
So you
know, as the Patriots are only 2-2 now, because it's not if you win or lose it counts. It's if you beat the spread.
You're a gambler.
And they're doing that very well. And comes a real game like a Kansas City. Is they're going to need Goskowski? Is he's got to get his act straightened out.
Well, I agree with you. At some point, they're going to need him, and it's not just going to be for the purposes of the spread or for eking out a close one. But that one yesterday, that's as close as they've come to having a missed field goal or an extra point affect the game.
Since Denver, yeah.
Mike, and it did. It didn't. It absolutely did in Denver. But you got to go back 5 years before you'd say, okay, well, that really cost
them. Cost them.
It could have very easily caused them to go to overtime yesterday.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, I mean, either way, you know, you talk about it. If they had gone for the field goal instead of going for it, had the Bills decided to just take three there, who's to say they couldn't get, you know, three more, changes the momentum and the tide turns a little bit. But who had the momentum going into the locker room at halftime in that game?
Buffalo.
It was all Buffalo.
Yep.
You know, that That's what the issue is going to be. And people are going to, we're going to keep talking about them. They're going to address it at Gillette, I'm sure. And there's, you know, things that they have to work on. But I don't think it's really going to be cause for alarm until it ends up costing them something more than just, oh, that's something we got
to
fix.
Yeah, I'm more upset about the interception inside the 5-yard line. It could have put you up 20-0 instead of the missed extra point.
Brian is in the mail truck today. He wanted to talk about the Patriots offense. Hi, Brian.
Hey, I just wanted to know, you know, maybe was it the lack of execution on the offensive side of the ball, or was maybe Buffalo's defense better than anybody kind of gave it credit for?
It's both. No, I mean, we've been giving his defense credit. That's the only thing carrying them now, too. It's not like they're scoring a ton of points. They don't look great on offense. They're winning because of their defensive play. Now, it's a combination of things. I think you got Marshall Newhouse on his seventh team, and you understand why now. Your guards aren't playing that great right now. Your center's trying to learn to function within this offense. And you miss Rob Gronkowski as a blocker. His ability to help set the edge with Cannon and lean on people and then turn the guy over to Cannon and then him come off the next edge guy, and then it's Devlin. So you don't have your two best blockers off the edge, Devlin and Gronkowski in the run game. And it's costing you right now. But the best thing is your schedule right now. Your schedule. You got a cupcake week this week.
This is actually Newhouse's eighth team, actually.
Eighth. So he's been on seven prior. Thank you for the correction. There's a reason you're on your eighth team.
Packers, Bengals, Giants, Raiders, Bills, Panthers, Saints, and now Patriots.
See Jerry Hughes jack his ass up in a goal line? Ooh. But again, your schedule.
In the words of Greg Bedard, he's a journeyman.
Yeah. You got to get through the Redskins game and short week against the Giants. Then you got 11 days to get ready for the Jets. That's a perfect scheduling for you. You still don't even have your bye. Then you got Browns, Ravens, then your bye.
He never appeared in the regular season for the Saints, but he was with them before the season began. So we're counting that as a team. That was a stop.
That is a tough stretch. Week 11, 12, 13, 14. Eagles, Cowboys, Texans, Chiefs. Bang, bang, bang.
But so they're going to be better by then.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
This is what I'm trying to get to today.
The schedule helps you. It allows you to get better. It allows you to get healthy.
Still September, and they're 4-0.
And you're going to be able to bring people back for that stretch run off the IR. You're going to allow to bring back two.
They're going to be 5-0 going into the Week 6 game against the Giants. That Week 6 game interest you at all now, given that the Giants have reeled off a couple of wins with their new young quarterback that's running all over the place and making plays?
Thursday night games are pretty good now. They got some good games now on Thursday.
You get Ben Watson back, they get Golden Tate back from suspension. So they got a weapon, too.
But to answer that question, I don't think anybody was taking the Bills defense lightly.
No, not here. Wrong show. That's what you're talking about.
Here's what I took lightly: Edelman's ability to really play to be effective, and he was not much more than a decoy. I mean, they used him, and he looked okay. He had his scheduled drop in there. You know
Burkhead and Edelman were decoys yesterday, folks. That's what you end up finding out at the end of that game.
And by the way, Dorsett's numbers, you know, you're looking for Dorsett to step up.
The streak
up in a game
came
like
to
that.
An end last week. It came to an end last week because he got robbed on that challenge last week. If you didn't buy in last week on an ending, it came to a screeching halt yesterday.
Two catches on nine targets.
We're going to get to the Sounds of Sunday coming up next. It's yet again a jam-packed Sounds of Sunday. T-Bone and Jim have been hard at work. And yes, it includes some plays from Amherst over the weekend where the Minutemen got a win with a new quarterback because they suspended six players on the day of the game. And then they turned around after facing that
Good news starting tight end now, too.
That's self-sabotage, that adversity they created for themselves, and then they went out and won a football game.
Yep.
They're no longer the worst in the country. We'll get to that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
After that play, Joe just referenced. Why do I keep calling you Joe?
It's a cup of Joe.
98.5, the Sports Hub presents Zolak and Bertrand's Sounds of Sunday.
Tuesdays tomorrow, and some it follows that today is Monday, and it's time for Sounds of Sunday.
Time now for the Sounds of Sunday.
This reminds me of BCN.
Yeah.
Rock of Boston.
Yeah. All right, Hardy. Time to get into the pocket.
We got to get into the gets into the pocket.
There it is.
What's
pocket?
Hey.
Come on. Where are we starting today from the Sounds of Sunday?
Colts. Radio.
Oh.
And the call of the Vontaze Burfict hit on Jack Doyle. Oh. Something tells me they will not be happy.
Close to the right side, upfield throws. It's caught by Jack Doyle. First down, up the field. A late flag into secondary. All kinds of flags are coming out now. Maybe a penalty on the Raiders after the catch.
And Burfict's always been a head case. He was a head case when he was in Cincinnati. And it just continues.
Would you shut up? They're telling you what the call is right now. They don't make the call on the late hit.
That's flags,
they don't
man.
Recognize it as
what
as
game the, are they watching?
Or as the helmet to helmet hit, I should say.
I'd be losing my mind right now.
All kinds of flags are coming out now. Maybe a penalty on the Raiders after the catch.
And Burfict's always been a head case. He was a head case when he was in Cincinnati. And it just continues.
The refs talking.
Might be one of the more dirty players in the NFL. He's been suspended 6 times.
Might be.
Are you going to tell us what happened?
No.
Did they tell the listeners what happened at any point?
Head case over the top.
Play by play, I obviously didn't see it.
Is talking.
Yeah, but they have monitors.
There are a lot of flags coming in for some reason.
Listen as the play happens.
To the right side, upfield throws. It's caught by Jack Doyle. First down, up the field. A late flag into secondary. All kinds of flags.
It wasn't like there was a lot of traffic around Jack Doyle on the play. It's hard to miss what happened there.
I have one defense of this. Now, I don't know if they watch the games through binoculars. Lucas Oil Stadium. This was a Lucas Oil Stadium, correct? The broadcast vantage point. We are at the top, tippy top, like Superdome tippy top.
So okay. It may have just looked like a tackle. Down. It may have just looked like a tackle.
Okay, it may have looked like a tackle. If you're watching the throw and then you're watching, you know, maybe the line. This guy's a lineman. Maybe he's watching line. Oh, there was something there that happened in the middle. I'm not sure exactly what.
But don't know, then shut up when the ref is telling you what happened.
How about the monitor? You can't see the monitor? There a TV in that booth?
Yeah. Yeah.
Burfict's always been a head case. He was a head case when he was in Cincinnati. And it just continues here in Oakland.
Might be one of the more dirty players in the NFL. He's been suspended 6 times for illegal hits and suspended 4 games in 2018 for violating the NFL's substance abuse policy. All told in his career, he's given up over $4.1 million. They're going to take another look at it and maybe see if Vontaze Burfict is subject to an ejection here. I haven't seen a replay. I don't know how egregious this is.
It's bad.
Certainly fines are coming with it. I mean, over $4 million in suspension and fines.
A lot of information.
You could do with
information,
$4 million,
boy.
Bucks,
shut
I'll tell you
up.
What. Get these guys a TV. If he hadn't seen a replay, then he didn't have a TV either. Poor guy. I actually feel bad for him now.
We need Bob Lane.
That's the home broadcast. That's not even the road broadcast.
I feel bad for them.
That's a new
guy. That means they are not getting the proper equipment in their booth.
Vontaze Burfict just celebrated his 29th birthday on the 24th of September. He's
Johnny on the spot with the suspensions and the money and the
graduate of Corona High School in California.
He's always been goofball, Burke, backhand.
What are you doing?
These are new guys, though.
All right.
Bob Lamey was the other guy?
Bob Lamey, hey.
Well, he turned out to have some...
Come on, Peyton, come on.
We're jumping right to Patriots Radio, huh?
Okay. I believe.
Yeah. Patriots Radio, a birthday wish right in the middle of the game. This is odd. Something like this would generally come during the pregame.
This is how confident I was the Patriots win. Game was tight.
Post-game, maybe.
Back in Buffalo for the second time.
It's Jim Lauf's birthday today.
Happy birthday, Jim Lauf.
They back there at Out the Moon. I'd buy him cake if I was there. He likes to eat ice cream.
You know what he wants today? Patriots win.
Oh, more than anything. Uh-huh.
First and 15.
2-2 to Jeter. Bob didn't want to play there. Trying to bait him.
So this is what will drive my wife crazy. But this happens all the time. Yesterday was Jim's birthday?
Yeah.
Okay. You knew yesterday. Beatles pretty good about birthdays and stuff like that.
I wish Jim a happy birthday at the very end of postgame.
Okay. Yeah. But, Zoe, would you have known it was Jim's birthday yesterday?
If what?
If
it wasn't for his wife, no. Because his wife was on thing. And I called Jim in a plane land, and I said, and he didn't answer. And I thought he was getting his birthday gift at that time, but he was in a shower. And
like, maybe he was.
What she get you for your birthday, Jim? It's every guy want, huh?
What? How long have you been working with Jim? I've been working with him for
16 years.
This is what drives my wife. How do you not know? He's your friend. You see him every day.
I don't care about a man's birthday.
It doesn't really matter.
Because we don't care.
I could give two rats asses about his birthday.
We don't care.
Your birthday, Tom's birthday.
When's Beatles' birthday? What month?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I really don't. I know yours is
I know
in
it's
December.
In April. I know yours is in March.
Wow.
Because your email addresses.
You're weird.
Your
man.
Emails have your birthdays in them. That's why.
I don't care, though. Same thing on Facebook.
Yeah, we don't
get a birthday.
I know Zoe's December.
December 7th.
I was born same day as Taylor Swift. December 5th.
13th. See?
T-Swift.
All right. Zoe, can you help us out with this one here?
Pearl Harbor Day.
This is mine.
Damn Germans.
More Pats Radio.
You know, may not show up on paper, black and white, statistically, but the push that he's gotten, you have a bee in your head.
False start. Offense.
The heat in Buffalo.
What?
The open booth, there was a bee's nest somewhere around where next to us was the owner and the GM. And they took these big placards and just swung.
Play it again. What do you want?
The bees push that he's gotten, you have a bee in your head.
Was that the Sosie?
Yeah, Bob's standing there like, mm-hmm.
You know, that reminds me of?
He had a bee right here on his head.
You got a bee on a cap. Furio to the doctor out on the golf course.
The bees will not stop coming in our booth.
You got a bee on your cap.
You got a bee on I think he's his hat, not cap. Is it hat?
I don't know.
The push that he's got.
When he's like,
you have a bee in your head.
He's like shin deep in the little pond.
Yeah.
As he's backing him up into the pond.
All right. Now, this surprises me here. This is labeled Zoe Loves Our Sponsors. Do you ever do anything to try and, you know, work in an extra sponsor mention? I've never...
You?
I've never heard you do this before.
Go to getanoilchange.com to save 15%.
I like that. You go in there, you sit in there, you stay in your car, check your emails, in and out like 15 minutes.
Listen to the Sports Hub?
Yeah. I like this here.
I like to time it between 10 and 2.
That's nice.
Here, read and react. With Zoe and the boys.
Wow.
Meanwhile, it's
Zoe and the boys.
Meanwhile, it's 3rd and 7. They got the train noise going. The crowd's going nuts.
Plug and read and react. Attaboy, Sosie.
Oh, yeah. And thanks for the plug, the personal plug.
With Zoe and the boys.
Yeah, that's Zoe and the boys. Middays on 98.5 Sports Hub.
I like the name of that.
Oh, he's going to have a B on his head next time I see him.
You got a B on your hat.
Yeah. Maybe no one else will see it, but I'll take care of it. Zoe and the boys. Sosie did a recap of halftime there in Buffalo. I haven't heard this yet.
All right, Zoe, thanks so much. Story of halftime, by the way. A couple tying the knot here in Buffalo. Congratulations to Mackenzie Park and Jordan Bengelli.
Memorable.
Former Bill Kyle Williams. Officiating the...
You know, if I grew up and I stayed in Pittsburgh, like, I would want, like, Frank O'Harris, and that's not Frank O'Harris, some Irish guy, Frank O'Harris, Franco's Italian Army. I would want him to officiate my wedding, and I'd have babaykis and luki and all that stuff. Good stuff, good Polish food.
It's part of the NFL's campaign this year in the 100th season.
To make sure couples engage in holy matrimony and then consummate the relationship right there on the field. The fans got a real treat.
Fans.
They had a sign, food for Polacks, down there. And outside our hotel, like 2 blocks down, I was pissed. Went to Chop House. We take the bus on the way to Orchard Park. And there's a house of pierogies stuffed with everything. And you could have like 50 different pierogies. I didn't know it was right around the corner. I would have eaten there.
Don't
good
they all,
Polish food.
Don't they all end up kind of tasting the same?
No.
Do you really need 50 different
pierogi? If you get homemade Polish pierogi, it's
oh, but if
the
they're
best.
All from the same place, the pork,
handmade.
The chicken,
yeah, you don't want the Mrs. T's. Like they get them in a freezer thing. They're nice. You put enough butter and onions on them. It's good stuff, though.
Okay. All right. Zoe here on the spread outside the booth.
Oh, Pats in their road white jerseys with the blue pants and the silver helmets.
Oh, and a nice couple ventured upstairs to where they had a much nicer catered halftime buffet than we had, as opposed to the Lunchable. Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Josh Allen for the Bills.
Horrified.
So
it's
just
an embarrassment.
Now he's just completely ignoring
it's
you.
It's a National Football League game.
So you got it wrong, by the way.
Uncrustables.
Yeah.
Uncrustables.
Whatever
the
hell they were. I was picturing Lunchables all night until I looked on Facebook and Dennis and the engineer had the posting of the.
What the hell
like,
are they called?
Sosie could not be more dismissive of you in this moment.
Catered halftime buffet than we had, as opposed to the Lunchable peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Josh Allen for the Bills.
And so the 2-2.
Meaning you oversold it. You oversold it. A Lunchable would have been great compared to you getting
a Lunchable would have been great. Lunchable, you're right.
Get some crackers or a little bit. Yeah.
A juice box, Capri Sun, and a Kit Kat.
Finally, gentlemen, UMass versus Akron yesterday.
Why don't we hang on to that?
You want to?
Yeah, hang on to it.
It's kind of a long clip.
Yeah, let's do headlines and then we'll do it.
Let's go UMass.
Headlines first. Right back with it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.